With your permission, Pastor, I got something from the Lord yesterday, and I feel led to do this before the service starts. When I was driving home yesterday, I felt like the Spirit of the Lord brought this to my attention, and He said, I don't know if there's just one person here or there may be multiple people here, but I'm going to speak out against the spirit of depression. And this is something different for me, but I feel like we have the authority. Depression is a spirit. It's not something that God has given to His people. So I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to point anybody out, but I'm going to cast this spirit of depression out in Jesus' name. The Bible says, behold, I've given unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt or harm you. We have authority. And so we need to speak out against these things because we have the power and authority. The devil is under our feet. So I speak against this spirit of depression. I command you to go. You have no place in this church. You have no place in this body. You have no place in this building. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that I invite your spirit in, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that prayers have been made. But Father God, we speak out specifically against this spirit. In Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. And now, you know what? I mean, I'm not trying to call anybody out. Let that minister to you. As I minister tonight, as I speak tonight, and I give you the word that the Holy Spirit has placed upon my heart to give this body, let that word work on you. Whatever area that might be in, you know, I don't know who I'm speaking. I'm just speaking out in faith. And I know that God's word doesn't come and it doesn't go out void, right? Amen? So, that was different. That was different, but you know, I'd rather be obedient than just go home and say, oh, you know what, I missed it, you know? And somebody went home and they never received what they needed to receive, right? Amen? If that's all you guys got tonight, then praise God, you know? Hallelujah, but I got more. So, if you've been here the few times I've ministered, we've been talking about the armor of God. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about the sword of the Spirit. Tonight, I will be talking about the sixth piece of armor that Paul discusses in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And that's going to be our core scripture, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And just jumping right in. For the Roman soldier, the sword, am I doing it, Si? He's bugger. On a lighter note, I just tell him myself. He said that when I minister, like I smack my lips when I'm talking. And so now I'm like consciously thinking about, am I smacking my lips as I minister? And he's laughing over there. And it's cool because we could laugh about it. And I like to laugh, you know, I don't want to be too serious, you know. You know, so, anyway, for a Roman soldier, the sword served as an offensive weapon against his enemies. And now when I think of a sword, yeah, I can think of a few iconic swords. Now, it's not a secret that I'm all about comic books and cartoons and superheroes and all that kind of stuff. So when I hear the word sword, I can think of a few swords that come to mind, and one of them is Excalibur. Come on, you guys know the sword Excalibur, you know? King Arthur's sword, you know? Yeah. Another sword I think about is the Sword of Omens from Lionel of the Thundercats, you know? Not too many people excited about that one. I can think of the Green Destiny of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Some of you guys, huh? So swords are kind of cool to me, you know what I mean? But this sword, yeah? But for the believer, it is the sword of the Spirit, which represents the Word of God. It's not some fairy tale sword, okay? This sword is our offensive weapon in the Spirit, okay? And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, in the New King James Version, it says, for the Word of God is living. Thank God the Word of God is not just some words on a book. It's not ink on a page. It's a living. It's an alive word. For the Word of God is living and powerful. It's not only alive, it's powerful as well. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that's one angle on the sword now. The sword is the word of God. Now the sword distinguishes the word now. The sword of the spirit distinguishes between spirit and flesh. Cool, yeah? The word of God is capable of piercing to the deepest levels of one's heart and attitude, and it is also a tool of discernment in the hands of a skilled user. Okay? Now, this scripture talks about the word of God being like a double-edged sword. And I'll give you an experience I had with the sword being double-edged. So now, you know, from what I understand, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the sword is a defensive weapon, yeah, against the enemy. But we can also use the sword to cut off things in our lives, two sides, that is not supposed to be there, that is not right. It's not what God has given us, you understand? And one instance is sickness and disease. A couple of months ago, my wife and I got the opportunity and privilege of going to Molokai. We've never been. And it was the first time in 8 years that we were alone without any kids. The last time was when we went on our honeymoon, and this last time was 8 years later. And man, it was kind of cool, man. You know, my mom guys would step up, help watch the kids, and of course, Sai, you know, big brother was there. And we went to Molokai, and I was like super stoked, man, because it's like super chill over there. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been, but man, we just fell in love with Molokai like immediately. It was like, hey, you think God calling us to Molokai? You know, like, so we got there, and like the first night there, yeah, I started forget one sore throat. And like, back in the day, I would get sinus infections like almost every month. And so like, immediately this stuff started to attack my body, and I was like, you know what? Hey man, it's been 8 years, bro. No way, devil. No way. 8 years. And I know this might be a little bit personal, but no, I'm just being real with you, okay? I don't like come up here and just give you guys some story that I read in one book. This is something that happened to me now, okay? And it was important, and God moved. And so, like, I was in the shower, and I was getting ready, yeah? And my wife could hear me talking in the shower, man. And I never even care, man. I never care if the guys upstairs could hear. I never care if the people next door could hear. Man, I was praying in tongues, and I was speaking to my body, and I was using that sword. And I was like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to kiss my wife tonight, man. And we're not talking about like a little, you know what I mean? Like, and I cannot kiss her the way I wanted to kiss her with a sore throat. You know what I mean? And I never like give her one sore throat too. You know what I mean? And this is real now, okay? So I was like, I mean, I was using my sword, man. I was cutting out stuff. I came outside. I grabbed her hands. I was like, babe, I want you to put your hands on my head and pray and believe with me that I'm not going to be sick this whole time. And you know what? I wasn't sick. And I got to kiss her. And that's a good thing. We married. We can kiss. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? I can use my sword. You know, and that's one instance. Yeah. Like, you know, we don't want to hyper-spiritualize things in there. You know, we use the sword of the spirit against the enemy, but the enemy tries to come against our body. We can cut those things out and say, no way, man. No way. No. This is not God's will for my life. See, because we can be ruled by our flesh or we can be led by the spirit. I just wanted to let you guys know that's being led by the spirit. You know what I'm saying? 8 years, man. We got to go back again. That was good fun, huh, babe? She's like, was that okay? Okay. This word is the ultimate truth. And we can find confidence in knowing it is our greatest weapon. To say that now, the other pieces of armor is offensive. It protects us, like the shield. The only time you see people using the shield as a weapon is Captain America, okay? But main thing that the shield was made for is to guard against attacks, okay? Same thing with the shoes of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You know, but the sword is our offensive weapon. It is the weapon we can use to attack and defend, okay? And so the sword is a symbol representing the power of God to fight the influences of evil and bring people to repentance. This is another factor of the sword. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and this is a popular scripture that some of you should know, 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, come on now. Huh? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, right? In every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This translation that I had was, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. And my emphasis was divine power to destroy strongholds. Divine power to destroy strongholds. Now, we understand that the sword is a double-edged sword, right? It has power. It's living. It's powerful. It has the power to discern between flesh and spirit. It has the divine power to destroy strongholds. Amen? We have that authority. As believers, we can notice something interesting. Every other piece of armor, with the exception of this one, is defensive. I've already said that. All the other pieces of armor come from God. How's that? But this piece in particular, is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. It's logos, and it's the same word used to describe God in John 1:1. Let's go to John 1:1. John 1:1 says, in the New Living Translation, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa. That sword we pointed out, that's God, man. That's the Word of God. That is the most powerful weapon we have. Think about it. Now, you don't give a sword to anybody, right? You know? You notice that this is the last piece of armor He gives the Christian warrior. He gives us the defense. No. Wait, am I? Defensive weapons, right? I don't want to get mixed up. He gives us the armor to learn how to stand before we use the offensive, right? And you don't want to be one commando Christian. You know what I mean? Running around naked with only the helmet, you know? Suicide commando, you know what I mean? Just with the helmet of self, just being born again, you know? God has given us the armor to live in and know how to stand. You understand? Like the breastplate of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That protects my spirit, man. That protects me. It says, I am, the devil comes, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see? Part of the armor. Another scripture that emphasizes this point is Hebrews 1:3. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and, I like this part, this is the underlying part right here, is upholding all things by the power of His word. No, it doesn't say it like that. I just see you guys paying attention. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. How's that the way they word them? How's that? Not the power of His word. The word, okay. The word of His power. The word is the power. Not the power of His word. The word of His power. That's the kind of power we have now as believers. Not just for speak out against sore throats. Think about it. The kind of power we have. That's pretty awesome, yeah? Emphasize word of His power. See, and you know what? The armor of God keeps us humble. Because it's not our power. It's not about bloodline or gender or last name or talents and abilities. It's all about God. Amen? It's not about me, man. It's all about Him. To understand how to defend ourselves with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, we don't have to look any further than the example of Jesus Christ Himself. Let's turn over to Matthew 4 and say amen when you got it. That was fast. I like that. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Let's go to Let me go to a different version. Give me 1 second. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Am I smacking my lips, Si? No, yeah? Okay. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, now this is Jesus using the sword of the Spirit. He's using the word. No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off." Now the devil's using scripture now. And this is where it gets dangerous. Not using half scriptures, you know what I mean? I got to watch myself when I minister. I don't like try to take one scripture to try pull in to make it sound like my message sounds a certain way. You know what I'm saying? That's what the devil doing. Using one half scripture. "For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you." Huh? "And they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." And Jesus responded, this is the word now. How dare the devil do this, yeah? Trying to tell the living word what the word says, yeah? What a donkey, yeah? Like, seriously, what was he thinking? "The scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me." Finally, Jesus said, "You know what? Get out of here, Satan." Jesus told him, "For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Now, even Jesus had to tell the devil to go away. He used his authority. We have that authority. We can tell the devil, get out of here. Get out of here with that sore throat. Get out of here with that debt mentality. Get out of here with that depression. Get out of here with that sickness and disease. Get out of here with that fear. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the helmet of salvation. I have the mind of Christ. I have the sword of the Spirit. Right? We have that authority. But Jesus is not going to do it for us. He's given us the armor to do it for ourselves. Right? Amen? See, the devil's only power is deception. In the beginning of this chapter, in Ephesians 6, it says, "Stand, therefore, that you may be stand against the wiles of the devil." Stand against the wiles. The devil's only trick he has is deception. He has no other authority or power over us but that. Right? Does the devil have power over us? No, right? Only if we give it to him. If he says, "Hey, bro, you're getting sick, bro. You can get sick. I'll ruin your vacation, bro." Oh, no, right? Wiles. When I hear that word wile, I think of one character and one character only. And some of you guys are old school like me. Wile E. Coyote with the Roadrunner, right? He was always trying to trip up that Roadrunner, right? And the Roadrunner, he wasn't just a bird brain, right? He was smart. He knew, you know? All these tricks that the devil tried to trip on the coyote tried to trick him up with, yeah? Wiles. The interpretation of wiles says devious or cunning stratagem employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. That's what the devil did in the garden with Adam and Eve. He deceived them, didn't he? He never come up there and go, hey, I'm the devil, man. You guys want to be like me? No, he just told me, hey, man, didn't God say this? Oh, yeah, God did say that. Well, they should have known the word, right? I'm not going to go there. You see, the book of Hebrews says that the word of God is like a sword, but our mouth puts this blade in action. You know, I get one good heart, but this mouth sometimes, got to keep them in check, you know? I'm just being real. You got to watch how this sword comes out sometimes, because sometimes you can say words that cut the wrong way, right? I'm just talking about me now. I'm not talking about you. That's okay? So these are our targets. These are the things we must defeat on the battlefield. We are to use the word of God to discern thoughts and attitudes that are contrary to God's way and use that sword to bring our own attitudes and thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Sounds like one scripture, yeah? Huh? That is the Christian battle, and that is how we use the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is going to be my last sermon on the armor of God, because prayer is not a piece of the armor. Okay? Prayer is not a piece of the armor. We have the belt of truth. In fact, let me show you. Can I use this, Lambert? Don't worry, I know how to use this kind of stuff. JJ, can you come up here? So prayer is not a part of the armor. Okay? The Bible tells us what the armor is. Okay? And he tells us to put on the belt of truth. He tells us to put on the belt of truth. First piece of armor, okay? He tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. He tells us to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. The helmet of salvation, the mind of Christ. And last and not least, the sword of the Spirit. So the last piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, but it tells us to pray. And I wanted you to see, the next time you pray, this is how you see yourself when you pray. Suited up in the armor, because you are the righteousness of God. Let me read. The belt of truth. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The breastplate of righteousness. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Shoes of the gospel of peace. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. The shield of faith. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Helmet of salvation. The mind of Christ. For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. And the sword of the Spirit, for the word of God is living. Showed him the sword. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me pray this final prayer. Heavenly Father, if you would bow your heads. Heavenly Father, arm us with your word and with your holy inspiration. Teach us to stand our ground against the enemy while helping those in distress, and give us the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Amen. And that concludes my sermon. I want you guys to remember that when you pray, not if you pray, how you pray from a position of a warrior, suited up, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. The Bible says that. He's given us all of the tools. He's given us everything to become successful. We just have to use them. Thank you, church body, for this opportunity and this privilege. I call you blessed. In Jesus' precious name.